Latter-day Saints.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Oh, good evening out there. This is Sean Bergen sitting in for Scoop Sten and Walter Yerkew. We have a fantastic guest upcoming. The son of New York's Mayor Rudy Giuliani, Andrew Giuliani, is running for governor of New York State. And, of course, New York gubernatorial race took a big, well, there was quite a lot of action here just within the last week or so with Andrew Cuomo resigning. Before he could be impeached, also facing criminal charges. And here to join us now to talk about all of this is Andrew Giuliani. Andrew, are you there?
Hey, guys, great being with you. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, as you've alluded to, there's been a lot that's gone on in New York State politics here over the last 10 days. And while I am very happy for New Yorkers that Andrew Cuomo will no longer be our governor after 10 and a half years of disastrous leadership, I think it's important to point out that we've now had three governors in a row, all Democratic governors, who have either resigned or have pledged not to run an election because of their corruption scandals. That needs a culture change in Albany.
There's no question that Albany is been a cesspool of corruption for many, many years. Before you get to Albany, though, you are going to have to get around Congressman Lee Zeldin, who seems to be your primary competition right now to gain the Republican nod. He seems to have the full party backing. That's an uphill climb, Andrew. How do you plan to overcome?
Well, I would actually take a look at the polls here early on. We're up 17 points statewide. So what we've basically said is we don't want to be the product of a backroom deal. I want to make sure the 2.9 million registered Republicans have a say over this process. And the truth is what we've seen is we've seen statewide polls are up 8 points. Now we're up 17 points on the aforementioned congressman right there. I think we're in the driver's seat on all this. And I think now more than ever, we have voters that do not necessarily trust the Republican Party in the process. And it's understandable why. It's because they actually don't want voters to participate in this process. We're seeing right now we're in a great position. I like where we are. I think the congressman is going to have to start taking some strong action to beat us. Other than that, I think we're in the driver's seat on this. And our strategy has been very simple. We're not talking to a few party bosses. We're going out there to massive gathering places. We are just at NASCAR. We were at Empire Farm Days, a massive agricultural event south of Syracuse. We've been to multiple county fairs. We're going to go to the state fair. We're going to more county fairs, and we are going to meet with as many New Yorkers as possible. One of the things that Andrew Cuomo did well was insulate himself from New Yorkers. I want to make sure it's not party bosses making the decision. I want to make sure it's as many of the 2.9 million registered Republicans and as many of the 19.5 million New Yorkers as possible.
And it seems to me that you're doing that with a real, like you mentioned, a real grassroots push, kind of the everyman, you know, you're out there, shoe leather express, pressing the flesh. What kind of response and reaction are you getting from the folks out there?
It's been great. You know, everybody is starving for a change in New York, and it's understandable why. I mean, you know, I heard in the intro there was a discussion about, you know, redistricting because of population loss. Well, unfortunately, New York has experienced a strong population loss. We've lost a congressional seat. Not only that, we're actually losing population. I think it's only New York and Illinois are the two states that are actually losing population over from the 2010 to the 2020 census. That's because we've had overregulation in New York. It's because we've had taxes that have just gone through the roof. We're competing with the likes of California instead of the Floridas and Texases. Obviously, and I think this is very important on your podcast, on your radio show specifically. We've seen crime throughout the entire state skyrocket. You know, everybody focuses on New York City, and the national media specifically focuses on New York City. But Buffalo, for example, is on pace to have one of the highest murder rates on record. Rochester's up 68%. Albany, violent crime is up 43%. This is all across New York State. It's a product of the Defund the Police movement. It's what you get when you introduce a disastrous piece of legislation like bail reform. And it's what happens when you start threatening our police officers' qualified immunity. We need to make sure that we have a governor in Albany that is going to back our blue and is not just going to be blown around by the political winds.
Absolutely right. And it was my observation that there is a very potent anti-cop strain that comes from the American left. You know, the Black Lives Matter movement, Antifa, these groups have all been backed by the left, legitimized by what I see to be a corrupt news media. The final analysis, the end result is that it is people in poor neighborhoods who are most affected by this, and it's negatively. We're seeing crime go through the roof in these areas. Absolutely right. You touched on a number of very important topics here. Specifically, I want to begin with the out-migration of New Yorkers fleeing the state. They're fleeing New York, New Jersey, Illinois, as you mentioned. They're fleeing blue states, and they're heading to red states that have a better pro-business climate. The property taxes here, when I talk to people here, I'm out on Long Island. When I talk to people who are leaving Long Island en masse, they all point to property taxes as being prohibitive. How on earth can we begin to tackle that issue, Andrew?
Well, that's, you know, and that's why when I mention the economic solutions, I always talk about taxes, but I also talk about regulatory reform. Because, as you know, with taxes, that's going to have to be something that the governor pushes on the legislature, a legislature that is now two supermajorities Democrat. I do not think with a Giuliani at the top of the ticket, we're going to have those supermajorities in 2023. I think both of those will cease to exist, and I think we'll even have a strong chance to take back our New York State Senate. But for me, what I look at from day one is we need to deregulate to make our business climate more friendly. It's very similar to what I worked on with President Trump in the White House. If you remember, President Trump pledged in 2016 that for every regulation he would sign into law, he cut two. When he walked out of office this last January, that number was over 12 to 1. That's the kind of focus that I would want to bring to New York. And it's the kind of change that I can affect on day one because the governor has the executive power to do that. Now, addressing property taxes, we start addressing that on day one. We start using the governor's bully pulpit to make sure that assembly members and state senators are kept accountable by their constituents to try to get the kind of change to make New York the pro-business friendly climate that Florida, that Tennessee is. But, you know, anybody who's realistic knows that that change cannot be implemented on day one. It can only be started on day one. That's what we're going to do, but we're also going to make sure there is strong deregulation.
So, speaking of the legislature, I mean, as you mentioned, there is a supermajority there. Looks like we've got a commercial break there. Well, joining you on the other side, I want to talk a little bit about the legislature and how you plan to, you know, maybe carry some candidates along on your coattail.
Sounds good.
Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's just not working.
She's been very unrealistic.
Really?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
That's not true.
We were supposed to live happily ever after.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
At first, he was gallant and chivalrous, opening doors for me, holding my chair, taking my arm.
All right, I'm not as young as I used to be.
He simply isn't the man who swept me off my feet.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand when you're together.
Really?
Yes, try it.
Okay.
All right, go on, take her hand. Careful, little oil.
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, look into each other's eyes. That's right, raise your visor.
Oh, they're blue, dear.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And our distinguished guest this afternoon is none other than Andrew Giuliani, running a everyman race here against political stalwarts like Congressman Lee Zeldin for the Republican primary. Andrew, before the break, we did touch on the fact that the legislature has, you know, the Democrats enjoy a supermajority over there. Do you think New Yorkers now are ready to tilt the balance of power back the other way after all the corruption that we've seen here over the last 10 years?
I think so. I think you're absolutely right. And it's something that we've focused on really on our campaign. This is not just Andrew Cuomo over the last 10 and a half years who has brought this toxic culture to Albany. This is something that's existed over the last 15 years, over the last three governors. And we're seeing it embody itself in the assembly, in the state Senate here. As I mentioned, I think right off the top of the radio show here, you've had the last three governors, two of which resigned, David Paterson, who pledged not to run after a ticket scandal, all who have brought this culture of corruption to Albany. I think there's a reason why, as we've said, New Yorkers are fleeing the state. It's because our quality of life is just not what it was. Unfortunately, our assembly and our state Senate are just continuing to push us down this path of poor governance, and they are not the solution. A democratic one-party rule in Albany is not the solution. I think it's why it's more ripe for change. That's one, I think, the biggest advantages that we bring as well. We have more Democrats that come up to us in the field, I should say, since we've done this and said, you know what? I really like what you stand for. I really don't like the way New York has changed from a business climate. I'm considering voting for you than I think any of the other Republicans who have considered running or who have announced.
Well, you know, Andrew, that's you raised some very good points there. I just want to switch gears here for a second. I was, talking to some friends about this upcoming interview that I was having with you. And many of them said, well, Andrew Giuliani, what has he really done in government? And my argument has been that Andrew Giuliani has been around politics his entire life as the son of America's mayor, who a tough as nails federal prosecutor who did what many people thought to be impossible. He successfully took on the mafia and defeated them. Right. And then I watched him in New York City turn that city around within just a few years through good law enforcement, proper policing, but also you're an advisor, a close advisor, and a steady golf partner, I understand, for President Donald Trump. Now, these two men, I think, when we look back over political leadership, you're talking about two of the most heroic political leaders that this country has seen probably in the last half century. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, their mentorship and what you learned from both your father and President Trump.
Yeah, and I'm obviously very, very proud of both of them. You know, to work 4 years in the Trump administration, to work all 4 years in the White House, to be a special assistant to the president, to work on the Paycheck Protection Program, and to see that program succeed the way that it did. And I think, you know, that really has educated me in terms of how I want to govern. You know, when I talk about deregulatory strategy, it's what I learned in the White House working for the president. When I talk about reducing the size of government, what I can tell you, honestly, you know, 40 of the best days that I had working in Washington, believe it or not, was when we had the shutdown. And I'll tell you why. It's because the bureaucracy was not fighting against President Trump and was not fighting against the Trump administration and what the administration was elected to do. That's what I see in Albany. You know, we need to drain the Albany swamp. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, my boss absolutely said that. You know, we absolutely need to drain the Albany swamp. We've seen power get centralized in Albany. And yes, as for my history, you know, I've spent 32 years in politics. I jokingly say, of course, the leftists and the media try to make this as serious, but I jokingly say, you know, I can't stand career politicians. I'm even worse. I'm a politician out of the womb. It's disgusting. I try to get in the shower and I can't even wash it out, wash it off me. But the truth is, I learned from two leaders that I would say are the furthest thing from typical politicians. They always have had their convictions. They still have their convictions. They do what's right, even if it's not popular. And I think that's what's so important. I don't know if all of my Republican colleagues can necessarily say the same thing. And I don't know if they would stand up and even mention the name of those two gentlemen, Mayor Rudolph Giuliani and President Donald Trump, the way that I would with you.
Fantastic. Very well said. Very well put. Is there anything else that you'd like to add here before we sign off?
Yeah, I think that New York State is going through a moment where we are at a crossroads and we have two potential pathways. The one pathway, which I think is the preferred pathway, is New York in the late 1990s. We can go down that path. We can make New York truly, I guess we can make New York great again, but really what we can do is we can make New York the business center for the country again, and we can make it truly a great, safe state to live in as it was 25 years ago. Or we can follow down the path of Illinois, which is crime out of control, continuing to go out of control, and unfunded liabilities. I prefer the pathway of New York of 20, 25 years ago. If we do that, if we elect the right kind of leadership, then I know that we can bring New York back and make New York the center of the world again. It's why I decided to run. It's why I'm strongly staying in this thing. That's why I think we're going to be successful on November 8th of next year.
Fantastic. Well, I must say you're a man of great energy, passion, drive. I think you're an exciting candidate, and we'll be keeping a close eye on you and your progress and keeping an eye on those polls. And be very interesting to see how things turn out here with this gubernatorial race here in 2022. I want to thank you again, Andrew, for joining us. Fantastic interview, and good luck to you, sir.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you for everything you're doing. And one thing I want to end the interview on is on January 1st, 2023, as soon as we get in the governor's mansion, the war on cops ends. We need a governor that's going to make sure that they stand up there and make sure that they protect our police officers. They are some of the best members of our state service, and we need to make sure that we have political leadership that's not going to blow in the wind, that's going to stand on that thin blue line and make it a little bit thicker for our men and women in blue.
Amen. God bless you, and good luck to you in your run. We'll be really excited to see how things progress here. Thanks again for joining us, Andrew.
Thank you. Have a great weekend to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Andrew Giuliani, exciting young candidate, comes from a real political pedigree that goes back decades here in New York. I remember following very closely the career of his father, the former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, and how he really turned New York City around together with Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik, comes from a very strong law enforcement background. And, you know, in this day and age, when we have a war on cops being declared by the left that has the full support of a corrupt liberal media, these are scary times, especially for folks who are living in, you know, in the America's inner cities. They've been turned into combat zones, war zones, where the police are blamed for everything. They can't really engage in the type of aggressive policing that brings crime down and saves lives. When Rudy Giuliani came into office in New York, the year prior to his arrival, there were 2,500 homicides in New York City. 2,500. Many of those crimes went unsolved. By the time he left, that number was down to just around 300 homicides. That saves lives, and it saves lives in and amongst the people in the neighborhoods where it's most needed and most demanded and most desired. So that would be a very refreshing view, I think, if we could get back to that, where we actually have government officials who actually back our law enforcement. It sounds to me like Andrew Giuliani is determined to do that. Like a lot of folks, were looking at Andrew Giuliani and saying, don't really know that he's done that much politically, but when you take a real close look at his record, he's been working very closely with President Trump over the last 4 years to tackle some of the nation's biggest problems, and it seems to me that Andrew has learned from the best. We'll join you on the other side.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Another major victory for the Taliban. The capital of the Kunar province, Assadabad, falling today, reportedly with very little resistance from the local government. Afghanistan's ambassador to the U.S., Adela Raz, telling the PBS NewsHour yesterday, Afghan morale has been hurt since news of the U.S.'s plans to withdraw.
And there is one psychological war, and I think I always say the psychological part we have lost long again, and I think our allies here in the U.S. have also lost the psychological war, despite how much we say we have not abandoned Afghanistan, but the assumption in the story back at home is they are abandoned.
U.S. forces, though, reportedly carrying out airstrikes in Kandahar, scores of Taliban fighters said to be killed. The Dixie wildfire, the largest single wildfire in California history, leading to more mandatory evacuation orders in Northern California last night. The fire covering over 500,000 acres, just 31% contained, about 600 homes destroyed. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Root Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
The CDC recommending a COVID booster shot. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky yesterday calling for those with compromised immune systems to get the booster to prevent serious and possibly life-threatening cases. Former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb telling CNBC yesterday how he thinks the booster shot should be administered.
I do believe, and I've long believed, that we should be looking at providing boosters to the older population, particularly people in nursing homes or congregate settings who are more at risk of contracting COVID and more at risk of a bad outcome, people who were vaccinated a long time ago, last December or January, because we have seen evidence of declining vaccine effectiveness across the board.
Dr. Gottlieb says he also sees good news ahead. He expects the number of COVID cases in the South to peak this week and then start declining. Security concerns surrounding the 20th anniversary of 9/11. The Department of Homeland Security yesterday issuing a terrorism alert. DHS says the anniversary could serve as a catalyst for acts of targeted violence during what's already a heightened threat environment. A deadly school shooting in New Mexico happening yesterday at a middle school in Albuquerque. A 13-year-old arrested for allegedly killing another student outside during lunch. This is USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, to the 7-5. I think we may be joined at some point here by Scoop Stanton, maybe dialing in to join us. But in the interim, I must say that these last few weeks in New York gubernatorial politics has been, it's been quite interesting here. We've seen Andrew Cuomo go from hero to zero, really in a matter of about 10 days, from media darling, Emmy award-winning governor for his daily briefings on the COVID virus. But, you know, what a lot of this has done, really, this and sexual harassment and impeachment talk has overshadowed the fact that Andrew Cuomo sent nearly 16,000 people to their deaths with returning senior citizens back to nursing homes where they spread the COVID virus like wildfire and ended up with nearly 16,000 people dead as a result. I don't want these, sexual harassment allegations, charges to overshadow that fact. There's a lot of people who have been working tremendously behind the scenes, people who lost family members, who don't want this to be swept under the rug. And it appears now that by resigning that he will forego the impeachment process, perhaps, with supermajority Democrats in the legislature, it's easy to understand how they might be able to get away with that. But the fact of the matter is that Andrew Cuomo is still facing criminal charges for a lot of this, a lot of the stuff that that he's done. So it'll be very interesting to see how things play out for this member of what I consider to be political royalty. His father was governor here in New York State and was thought to be a was actually ran for president at one point. They were talking at one point about perhaps Andrew Cuomo joining Biden as a vice presidential candidate during the next election. I don't know where he's going to go now. Be very interesting to see where and how he or if he ever even reemerges, if he can actually survive what politically what we saw. I mean, he naturally had to resign his position as governor, but where does he go from here? Anyone's guess. It would be criminal if he got away with the COVID deaths. You know, what I found very interesting is that there were about five Democrat governors who were all acting in concert with one another, whether concerned how these senior citizens were to be handled. They were returned to nursing homes where they had no real system or infrastructure in place to battle a pandemic like this. They were woefully underprepared for this. But it seemed that Cuomo was acting in concert with four or five Democrat governors, all making the same move. And when you add up all the deaths from these five Democrat governors, it ends up being about 40% of all COVID deaths in the United States can be attributed to these wrong-headed, ham-fisted approach to dealing with the pandemic. It was absolutely staggering to watch. And I hope and pray that these folks don't get away with this stuff, that it's not just politics as usual, that it's going to be swept under the rug, that the corrupt media will shine a light someplace else and try to have you focus on, you know, some minuscule idiotic thing. But that has been their way. We have seen that. And I think it's going to be up to us to ensure that that these folks don't get away with that stuff. It's unconscionable. It really is just unconscionable that that would happen. So great to see Andrew Giuliani out there on the campaign trail. He's not only going to battle corruption in Washington, but he's also keeping the Republican Party honest. As he said, there's a lot of people fed up with weak-kneed rhino Republicans in name only, who just want to cut deals backroom deals with Democrats. You know, that's referred to as the swamp in Washington, D.C. I can tell you that the swamp in Albany probably rivals the swamp in D.C. where it concerns this stuff. We do have some great Republican lawmakers who are up in Albany fighting the good fight against overwhelming odds. They're in there digging it out, slugging it out every day. They bring their shovel and pail to work, and you know, they you know, they're out there really trying their best. But then there's a lot of folks out there who just want to go along to get along, and that's what ends up happening, is that you end up with a kind of one-party rule where it's the ruling class versus the underclass, and folks are getting really, really upset with it. I know that there have to be Democrats out there, moderate Democrats, who are sick and tired of seeing this kind of corruption in their party. I mean, as a news reporter, I remember, you know, campaigning or being on the campaign trail with Elliot Spitzer, and I remember David Patterson and the accidental governor. And now we have this guy, Cuomo, who was just, you know, a bully behind the scenes, and easily, hands down, one of the most arrogant people I've ever encountered as a reporter. I don't mind telling you that now. It was just he's just unbearable guy to deal with. And, you know, this all the truth now is starting to come out about what this guy was actually like behind the scenes. Meanwhile, we have an adoring media who was just more than happy to put this guy up on a pedestal. But you got to wonder, do they put him up on a pedestal just to knock him down? You know, there might be something to that. Very interesting to see. Very interesting to see indeed. Exciting times ahead here in New York as far as gubernatorial politics. The Republican primary will be very interesting to see how this plays out. Representative Lee Zeldin has the full backing of the Republican Party. Rob Astorino was a very successful county executive in Westchester County. He's also in the race. But he failed in his bid for running for governor back in 2014. And now we have the addition of Andrew Giuliani, who does have a very extensive political background, having been around politics his entire life. You know, his father was the mayor of New York, and I think ran for president at one point, a trusted advisor to President Trump. And then, of course, Andrew himself working in the Trump administration on some pretty some very important issues, specifically the opioid crisis. You know, that crisis is driven in large part by our failures at the border. I know that talking to the contacts that I have in the Department of Homeland Security, I know of three career agents who are just so disgusted by what they see with the Biden administration that they're ready to wash their hands and retire. They say they can't stomach going into work every day to watch this guy Biden just deep six our national security, chief among them is his approach to border security. I know fentanyl seizures up on our southern border are up by 4,000% year to year. So anyone who thinks that this is not a crisis, oh my gosh, I mean, that fentanyl is killing more young people in America today than anything else. And that is tied directly to our border security or our lack thereof. And it seems really our border security now seems to be disintegrating. And of course, Biden is, as usual, nowhere to be found, on vacation, can't even stagger the teleprompter to, you know, make a few, mumble through a few incoherent sentences to make a statement about what's happening, not only on our southern border, but also we're seeing major developments now in Afghanistan with the resurgence of the Taliban, and they are beginning to take hold of that country again, which it's got to be very difficult for American servicemen to watch after all the all that was lost there in terms of American lives and trying to liberate that country and free it from Taliban control. It looks to be now that has just it has gone back the other way, and we've actually had to send back 3,000 American troops to help facilitate with an evacuation there of the embassy. This is reminiscent of the fall of Saigon back in 1975, where we, you know, we basically lost and got kicked out of the country. And you've got to know that the Taliban is going to take this as a major PR victory, that they defeated the United States. They kicked the Russians out. They kicked the Americans out. Nobody can defeat the Taliban. And the folks there in Afghanistan will be forced now to live under the thumb of these vicious tyrants. My goodness, what they've done to that country and what they've done to the surrounding area is just is really just a crime. Crimes against humanity is how I would characterize it. But of course, none of these shortcomings will be put out there by the our corrupt media. They're going to allow Biden to. They're going to give him a pass, and they're going to cover for him at every turn. Really sad state of affairs that we have in our country today, where it concerns Democrat corruption, media corruption, and they go hand in hand. Don't think that they don't. That's all for now. We have a break coming up, and I'll join you on the other side.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Bergen here sitting in for Walton Scoop as we wind up the hour. Fantastic interview earlier with Andrew Giuliani, gubernatorial candidate here for the upcoming gubernatorial race here in New York, 2022. has definitely got an uphill climb ahead of him in terms of the primary and getting past Congressman Lee Zeldin, who would be the front runner now and appears to have the full blessing of the Republican Party. But we did touch on a number of very big issues that being faced not only here in New York, but also nationwide. Of course, the ongoing war on police, the insanity of bail reform, which basically allows criminals to be just released. It's catch and release. You've got criminals now accused of violent crimes who go right back out to perpetrate crimes, oftentimes against their victims. They're being released without bail. This is called bail reform, another one of these Orwellian terms put out by Democrats that for some reason people just seem to go along with. Unreal. There is a very potent anti-cop strain on the American left, as I touched on with Andrew. Hello?
Hey, good morning, Sean. That's Scoop. My apologies. I had family drama as usual, and you hear me yelling and screaming mid-sentence. It's not my Tourette's. It's me going to work. My apologies to you and all the wonderful listeners.
Well, it's great to have you, Scoop. And I was just, did you manage to hear the interview that we did with Mr. Giuliani?
Unfortunately, no. I have had some family issues going on. That's why I've recruited you to take care of that for us. I'm sure tonight I'll be listening to the archives, and I'm sure it was a wonderful show. How was Mr. Giuliani?
Well, you know, we touched on some very important subjects. Chief among them, of course, is the ongoing war on police that I was just talking about. As a reporter in the corrupt media, I got to see firsthand just how decisions are made in the newsroom and how stories are involving the police are approached by the American left and their take on things. Just wondering what you have to say with regard to that.
Well, it's been an ongoing situation, Sean, and you know, you brought it up in 2014 when you took that gigantic leap on News 12, and then later that year, December 20th exactly, when you texted me saying that two cops were shot and killed in New York City, and you and I came up the concept. I was like, you know what, there is a war on cops, and there's still a war on cops, and of course, it as usual, it's blowing up in the Democrats' faces because you in New York, me in D.C., the streets are becoming the wild, wild west. And these idiots are sitting and shaking their head saying, oh, well, why is there a sudden rise in crime? You know, they keep telling the cops, don't stop, search, possibly frisk somebody. Stop going after young black men. Start to be reactive instead of proactive, then they can't understand why the crime rates are going through the roof. It's not going to stop if you keep voting Democrats. Now, granted, I'm not a fan of the GOP, but they're better than the Democrats. And that's why we need pro-police candidates, pro-law and order candidates. Donald Trump did his best to stop the war on cops. He bent over backwards for the family of Officer Neosis Fiamilia by talking about them, bringing them up on the Police Week Memorial, and also having them at the GOP convention back in 2020. But, I mean, there's still a war on cops. It's still going on, and we're one of the very few outlets to bring this up and talk about it. Now, granted, myself and Mr. Yerke, we had some things in the past that you're showing the door from One Police Plaza, but you know, with that being said, I feel we have done more for law enforcement doing this little radio show than we would have doing a full 20-year career.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the crazy thing about it is that these Democrats come out with these policies that they think are going to help poor black people in America's inner cities, and they end up destroying the very people that they claim they want to help. I mean, the victims of this soaring crime rate are overwhelmingly poor black folks living in ghettos across the city, across America. This is, you know, it's the insanity of it is just, it's mind-boggling. It's absolutely staggering to me that people continue to go along with this and they continue to vote Democrat. Or when they don't vote Democrat, the elections are stolen.
Right. Right. And you know, here's a perfect example in D.C. They got these high-rise, well, somewhat high-rise buildings coming up, luxury condos, office space, multi-use area, and this, that, another thing. And meanwhile, they do nothing for the crime. You got these million-dollar buildings, but you still got some skull in the street panhandling in the middle of an intersection with moving traffic, and Metropolitan Police Department is just sitting there doing nothing because they're told, don't do anything. And it's just a black eye to the city, and I know New York is going through the same thing.
It's happening in New York. The numbers, the crime rate, violent crime is up significantly. And not only that, I mean, the cops who I talk to who are out on the streets say, I mean, most of them are leaving. I got to tell you, I mean, you know, guys who are getting close to retirement are, well, if they're at retirement, they're filing the papers right away. They're just filing the paperwork and they're getting out. Nobody's sticking around. The guys I know, who are, you know, street level patrolmen, are all looking for other departments to go to, whether it's Nassau or Suffolk out here on Long Island, or actually just moving to other states. So it's a bad situation that only promises to get worse over time. This is going to get worse over time, not better over time, unless something drastic is done to reverse this issue. And it really starts with electing the right candidates and electing law and order candidates. And by and large, you see that on the right, and there's a total lack of it on the left.
Right. Or Sean, or God forbid, you know, something happens to the family members of these politicians or celebrities, or say like the son or daughter of a mayor of a big city, and then I'm sure you're going to see a 180 on the lack of support for law enforcement. I mean, Bill de Blasio, his kids had police protection going up to Yale University. But, I mean, God forbid something happened to their kids, and I'm sure Bill de Blasio would unleash hell, like he should, but they should be doing it now. But I mean, but you know, it's not going to happen. And you know, New York is in a terrible, terrible shape. But I mean, do you think Mr. Giuliani would be a good fit for the Empire State?
I see him. Look, I see him reversing crime the same way his father did in New York City. I mean, his father was up against an entrenched Democrat bureaucracy here. He had to work with the city council that was overwhelmingly Democrat. But things had gotten so bad that they actually turned, that the people, you know, voted for a Republican mayor, rare in New York City. And I think we're at that tipping point now here in the state of New York, because as Andrew mentioned in the interview, it's not just New York City. You go up to Buffalo and the Rochester area, and they're saying the same explosion in crime up there. So, you know, this affects major cities, and it affects the smaller cities, too. Cities that, you know, most of us don't even know exist and had never heard of. Places like Ferguson, Missouri. You know, that, you know, nobody had ever heard of that before Michael Brown decided to, you know, strong arm a bodega owner.
Officer Darrell Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, something's got to give, because, I mean, pretty soon people are going to take the law in their own hands, because, you know, unfortunately for people like me and you, we have to go into these cities. And, you know, I'm not bringing my family into Washington, D.C., and I'm not going to take that trip up to New York City. I'll take a trip to upstate New York, where, believe me, Antifa and Black Lives Matter do not want to go up there for a simple reason. But you're going to see situations like Bernie Getz in the future, more situations like Bernie Getz. And, you know, when somebody has a situation like that, it's for self-defense. But unfortunately, you got these liberal, crazy, wackadoodle judges. They'll throw the book at them. In D.C., you had four police officers fighting a guy with a ghost gun. And anyways, the charges dropped against the guy with the gun, and the DA is looking to put charges on the cops doing the job.
Insanity. All of it. And it seems sometimes like we're the only ones who are pointing a finger at it to say, this has got to stop. I mean, where does it end, you know?
So more bodies in the ground. And then when they get, you know, when they put the bodies in the ground, they're going to vote Democrat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, more political corruption. My goodness.
Right.
You know, in other news, we saw within the last few days here, Mike Lindell held a symposium out to point out electoral fraud in this country. Hopefully, we'll begin to see some resolution with that, with the audits happening in Maricopa County,
hey,
Arizona.
Hey, Sean, real quick, our music's coming up. Take us out, sir.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Scoop Stanton. And that wraps up our show today. Another illuminating interview with a very promising young political candidate, Andrew Giuliani. Thanks again for the 7-5. This is Sean Bergen. I was sitting in for Walter and Scoop until he decides to join us late. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. Talk to you soon.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.
You know what?